I don't know how many of you know, but I didn't get to go to the New York meeting. I had my tickets and everything, but I couldn't do it. I'm so sick. I appreciate your prayers, and I am 100% better. But well, I did get text by text blows of what was going on. So, no, he didn't. I didn't want him to be that conspicuous of what was going on. But he did call me and just let me hear it over the phone. And also texted me. They discussed in the meeting, and I knew the subject was going to come up, and that's the reason I really didn't want to miss. They discussed the Lord's Supper, communion. And I wanted to be there because a handful of the brethren in the body are taking literal communion. And so it was presented as a literal ordinance to take. So I thought we might talk on it a little bit this morning. I doubt if we have time to cover the whole thing, maybe, but we can cover quite a bit of it. I could present either side to you. I could teach it either way, but I only believe it one way. If you turn in Luke 22, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three Gospels have the account where Jesus had his disciples go and prepare the Passover feast. And one of the things that I might mention about that is I'm sure most of you know that the Passover was established or instituted in Egypt when God had Moses to take the children of Israel out of Egypt. And it's called Passover because the Passover lamb or the Passover, the angel of death was to pass over every house that had the lamb's blood applied to the lintel and the doorpost, each side of the door. And God sent an angel through the land of Egypt that night and killed every firstborn child. And only those that had the blood of the lamb applied to their house, the only ones that knew about it was the Israelites that God told. And then that was to be a feast that was to be kept forever, the Bible says, which, you know, if you take that literal feast forever, that's one of the places in the Bible that forever ends. There's several forevers in the Bible that end. It's forever until the Lord brings it to an end or to the end of that age. They were to keep it among the Jews until its fulfillment, until that covenant ended and God made a new covenant. But if you look in the 7th verse in Luke 22, it says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed, and he sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat.' And they said unto him, 'Where wilt thou that we prepare?' And he said unto them, 'Behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water, following him into the house where he entereth in. And you shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished with furnished, there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take, eat this, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Then he tells about that there's going to be one of them betray him. There's several things about this that needs to be mentioned. Number one, they were not eating the Passover feast. Jesus died the next day at the Passover, at the time of Passover. The Passover lamb was to be killed, and then they were at dusk. The Jewish day started at 6 o'clock in the evening and went till the next day. And that, it was the evening and the morning was a day among, with the Jews. That's how their days were reckoned. They started at 6 o'clock in the evening, went till 6 o'clock the next evening. So Jesus was the Passover lamb, and he died in the afternoon, probably around 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the day of Passover. And of course it was to be eaten at when the day started, you know, right at dusk when a new day started. And that was also the beginning of unleavened bread. There are some discrepancies. If you look in Matthew 26, I'll give you in Matthew 26, in 17. It says, now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare the Passover? Now right there it says the first day of unleavened bread, which the Passover was the first day, and it lasted for 7 days. And so there's a discrepancy there. Let's look in Mark 14:12. Of course, he sent them that day to go prepare. It says there, and the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? If you look, go ahead.
John 19 and 14, when he was with Pontius Pilate already. Pontius, it says it was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour, and he says unto the Jews, behold your king.
Right.
And it says they they took him away and killed him on the prep. And John, it says they killed him on the preparation of the Passover.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to get to that, but that's good you brought it up. The this here where it says the first day, if you look up that Greek word for first day, it was translated first, but it can mean before. Somebody, let me look it up for you. See, and there's a lot of Jewish or even Greek words that can have several meanings. It's translated first, chief, first day, former, and then there's miscellaneous. There's seven ways it also means before. Let me read it to you. Prontos, a contracted superlative of 40, Greek word, Strong's number 4253, foremost in time, place, order, or importance, before, beginning, best, chief, first, former. So it could, that helps find, the discrepancy where here it's saying the first. Obviously, this could not be the same day that Pontius Pilate was, that it was the preparation day, which was the next day, because Jesus ate this with them, and then he went out and prayed all night. And it was late that night when, well, not all night, because it was during the night when they came and got him, captured him, took him before Pilate the next morning, and that day they hung him on, they found him guilty and hung him on a cross that afternoon. So obviously, this night before wasn't the day of Passover. But Jesus sent them there to prepare for the Passover feast. The Jews lived all over, they lived in Egypt, they lived in Assyria, they lived in Southeast Asia. The Jews lived in several different places, but they were required to come to Jerusalem three times a year for the Feast of Passover and Unleavened Bread, for the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Weeks, two feasts in the springtime and the feast in the fall. And so it wasn't unusual for somebody to be asked for a guest room so that they could eat the Passover feast, because people were coming from everywhere to keep that feast. Jesus died the next day. He was the Passover lamb and the fulfillment of this feast, so he didn't die till the next day. So what they ate that night was a supper, but it wasn't the Passover feast. But now, here I'll give y'all some questions. Since they weren't eating the Passover that night, and he gave them bread and wine to eat and drink, was he giving them something to do as often as they did it to remember his death by? Was he giving them an ordinance or something that he wanted them to do to remember his death? was he giving them some literal holy day to keep under the new covenant? He told them he wouldn't eat it again with them until he ate it with them in his kingdom. Passover.
And was Passover. I'm not sure if that was the day of Passover.
In,
because I don't really think, I know the Jews were like that, because they don't think he was
the Messiah. Now, they're still taking the literal Passover feast. In John, the sixth chapter, in the 47th verse, Jesus is talking here, and during the time of Passover earlier in his ministry. you'd have to go back and read in the, starting in the sixth chapter. But we'll just start. Let's back up to the 30th verse, or your 31st verse. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said he unto them, Lord, evermore, they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He's saying something to them now that they've never heard before. That, it was strange words that was hitting their ears. Then in the 44th verse, he said, no man can come to me except my Father which is in heaven, except my Father which hath sent me, draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. It is written of the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, come unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, I live by my Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend thee, or you? What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe, some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto them, unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So here Jesus is certainly talking about a bread that you couldn't literally eat of, and a blood that you couldn't literally drink of. He certainly didn't mean that. He said, the bread is my flesh. This is where the Catholic Church gets the doctrine of transubstantiation, where they say that when the priest prays over it, puts it in your mouth, it literally becomes Jesus' flesh. And when you drink of the wine that they serve you, it literally becomes his blood. And if you don't eat and drink that, you can't have life. You can't live. You can't be saved. And and that's where the doctrine of communion, that the church world knows and understands, that's where it came from, is the Catholic Church. In the Dominican Republic, when I went over there, they did it. Some of them do it every Sunday, and some of them do it the first Sunday of every month. And when I taught them on this, it about floored them. And I was telling Brother Green, called him, and I was talking to him, and I told him what they was going to discuss in New York. And he said, my God, Brother Smith, are they going to go backwards? And I thought, boy, I don't know if the body ever changed on this. I don't know if I could change them on it. I sewed it down so deep in them. They really understand the true meaning. There are, brother, I will say this, brother William Souders, I've got all four articles that Brother Souders there's somebody took shorthand and wrote all those papers of Brother Souders. We had, I think there was 14 of those black books. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I had 10 of them, I know. And then Brother Leniger translated them all into, those bigger white books that we've got, our Brother Souders' writings. And you'll hear men in meetings say this, that they'll refer to it, that Brother Souders said we would one day take this. And, and so men, held Brother Souders so high that they, always held on to that Brother Souders said one day we'll take it. Well, Brother Souders also thought that the church would be restored in the 50s. And I've got the four articles that we've got record of what he taught on this subject and the discussions they had on it. And what he taught was is that the reason we couldn't take it now or then when he was talking to them was because we weren't clean enough to take it. Well, I would agree with him if if it was an ordinance that we were to keep, I would say back then this ministry wasn't clean enough to take it, and they could drink damnation to themselves. The church, you've got to understand, the church was being restored, and it's still being restored. And I'm not sure we're clean enough to take it now fully. And I'm not talking about a literal cup or a literal piece of bread, but I'm talking about the unadulterated Word of God in all of its full truth. When it's presented, it's going to bring judgment. It's bringing a measure of judgment now, but when it's fully restored and God inaugurates the church in the way that He did the New Testament church, there was judgment came with that. If you remember, He told the 12 disciples, He said, you'll sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And they did that. They judged Israel. And God, when God finished with that world and finished judging Israel, He gave the gospel to the Gentiles. And the church had to fall away. Because the Gentile world just was in no condition to receive it on the same level that the New Testament church was receiving it on. God had been dealing with them for 2,000 years. The Gentiles were just heathens. They had no background, no platform, no foundation for God to deal with them in. So God just had to let this gospel go back down on a primitive level, and then He had to let the world do what they wanted to do with it, and then raise up reformers to reform and restore the truth that was lost. So there's many things that was given in the Catholic Church that's been handed down in tradition, and organizations have taken truths and built their secular groups with, but the church has never been one body since the New Testament church fell away. It's never been had one spirit. It's never had one faith, just one understanding of the Word of God. And that's what God's going to bring us to before this world's over. For God can judge this world, He's going to have a church that He can manifest Himself and gather and harvest this world in the same way that He harvested that world. And so, Brother Souders felt like that in the early discussions that they had concerning the Lord's Supper, he felt like, you know, the Lord didn't give it to His disciples until it was right before He was ready to die and they were fixing to move into a divine order, a second heaven state on the day of Pentecost. And he also taught that only the ministry would take it. And of course, you've got to understand that they were, you know, they were working on this these subjects that were new to them, and Brother Souders wasn't, you know, he didn't have everything right. If he did, we'd already have a restored church. So you've got to understand that some things are going to have to be adjusted. And he may have changed. That's one of the things you got to understand in a church being restored and men of God that are seeking truth, that just because they say something and teach something one way and you write it down, they may change from that. God may change their mind and they may see a greater truth on it. So just because you go back and find that it was wrote down that a man said something at some time doesn't mean that that's how he wound up teaching it before he died. So, but some men hold on to that. But I'll tell you why that I don't believe. I believe that Jesus, when he was in this upper room with his disciples, he was revealing to them the truth and the true meaning of the Passover feast. They had kept for 1,500 years under the law of Moses that they were to eat a lamb. They were to eat, you know, they had to go through the bitter herbs. They had to eat the whole thing, the whole meal. It was a feast that they were to eat. And they kept that feast, and it was an ordinance that they be separated from Israel. They weren't worthy of God if they didn't do it, It was an ordinance that they had, a commandment that God gave them that they were to keep forever. They weren't ever to quit doing it. And so when Jesus told those men, "This is my bread, this is my blood, and as oft as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Remember my death till I come." Well, he came, he said, I won't take it with you again until I drink of it or with you in my kingdom. The kingdom of heaven started on the day of Pentecost. It wasn't but about 50 days later that the day of Pentecost came, and the Spirit of God was poured out on the day of Pentecost, and they drank of the life of God that was in Jesus Christ that he died to give to everybody. That day they drank of that. They began to drink of life. No man had ever went to heaven. No man had ever been born again. No man had ever received life into his soul. Jesus said, "You must be born again." It was the life of God you had to be born of. You've got to be born of his Spirit. And on that day, the kingdom of heaven started on the day of Pentecost in Christ's kingdom, his kingdom. Somebody said that it was taught in New York that was the millennium. I said, he didn't say nothing about the millennium. He said, in my kingdom. The kingdom, just go back and read it. He told his disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come." The kingdom of heaven is preached, they said, and men have to press their way into it. That was the New Testament church that started on the day of Pentecost. And the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said true believers must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the Word of God that Jesus was teaching was the truth of God's Word. And that Word of God would give you life. The quickened, anointed Word of God would put in your mind, and if the Spirit of God would touch you where you could believe the truth when you heard it. Just like right now, I'm teaching something that the religious world don't teach, and if you don't, you know, if God don't help you to believe it, if God don't touch you to believe it, you'll never believe it. You'll keep right on eating a cracker and drinking a little bit of juice and thinking that that's going to give life to your soul some way. Brother Weiniger? Yes, when he said, "Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me." You've got to partake of the life. Jesus was living. He was the living Word of God. We have to partake of that. We've got to receive the truth of the Word of God, and it's in our minds. I've said this now for, I don't know how y'all could not, you ought to be able to quote me verbatim. I've said it so much. That your mind is what has to be transformed. Once you're born of God, born of the Spirit of God, you're born of His nature, but you've got two natures dwelling in you. You've got the nature of Adam and you've got the nature of God. But the difference is, I had a man tell me, you know, I was talking to him about this. In fact, I talked on this so strong, Brother Fisher was with us going to Wichita last weekend. I'm not too sure that they didn't think I was fixing to take it literally. I talked on the literal side so strong, you know, so, and I could talk on it pretty strong. I could probably, if I started in on it, I could probably convince some of y'all we need to take it. Of course, I know some of you are sitting there saying you can't convince me, I will tell you this. I have considered, many times I've considered I've considered having our sisters prepare a Passover feast and us eat it while I teach on it, every part of it, as a practical lesson, not because it's something that the Bible tells us we are to do, but so it could get in people's minds what Christ really fulfilled and what he really did and what his death accomplished for every soul that will believe. And I'm not sure, well, I am sure. I'm sure it could help a church. A practical lesson could help a church to get their hearts cleansed, to get forgivenesses made, and to get rededication and cleansing of the heart. So I could see where, but I think you could accomplish it with just the Word of God and the Spirit of God. I'm not sure that eating anything would help you other than just going through the practical lesson and knowing what each part of it meant. So I'm not sure we won't do that someday, but I don't have it in any plans for the future. Anyway, so, but now let's turn to 1 Corinthians 11. We're about out of time. Because here's where the Lord's Supper is brought to so many. Where Paul is talking to the Corinthian church. You have to realize this is a Gentile church. Paul's been away for a while. He's hearing things and there's divisions among them, and it's a, you've got to understand that that the Gentiles were also being influenced by a lot of Judaizers and this was probably written around AD 55, somewhere along in there. So about 15 years before AD 70. And Paul's ministry, I think his first missionary journey was like in AD 47, something like that. He was converted in AD 33. He spent 14 years preparing for his ministry. AD 67. His first missionary journey. I don't know if anybody else has got any dates on this. 33, 43, 47. And these are just approximation. He was, history tells us he was martyred in 1967. So his ministry was about a 20-year ministry, 47 to 67. But we got to remember he had traveled by boat or by donkey or a foot or some way to get to all these places. And so he wasn't able to ever go back to, maybe just twice he might have been there. Must have had a powerful ministry that could plant churches in just a short period of time. Of course, he was in Corinth 2 years when he established that church. Anyway, he's writing them this letter here, and he said, let's start in... 18. It says, "For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresy among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another's drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not.
Verse 10? I'm sorry. Will you jump back to number 20, verse 20?
When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper.
Give us a little background on what that means.
Well, he's getting on to them here because they're having some kind of feast.
Well, are they doing the Passover?
Well, it's ambiguous. All the scriptures you read on this, if you put all this together, you would have to say it'd be too ambiguous for there to be any teaching in the New Testament that taught to literally take a cup of wine and a piece of bread to remember the Lord's, to do literally what he told them to do, which I think when Jesus took a piece of bread and he showed it to him, he said, look you men, this bread is my flesh. This is my body. That's what you're fixing to take, the Passover feast. I want you to know what you're taking. I want you to understand the fulfillment of this. And when you drink this cup, it's my blood. I'm fixing to fulfill this. He was giving them a practical lesson that night before he died on the Passover the next day. Now,
well, I guess my question is, though, if they pick up on that and started doing this literally in some of those churches,
we don't have any scripture to tell us what they're doing exactly. This is the only scripture we've got. There's not one other book in the New Testament that if this was something the church had to do, don't you think Peter, James, or John would have wrote something about it? Don't you think some of these men or Paul would have mentioned it in some of his other writings to some of the other churches? It would have been mentioned somewhere. I can give you I could give you some things on the other side of it, but I don't have time right now. I've weighed out both sides. In other words, I've tried to convince myself that maybe he was giving us a little something, to do that would bring something to our memory. But he is. He told them, when y'all come together, you're not taking the Lord's Supper. Hadn't he got a house to eat in and a house to eat in? But then he told them what the Lord showed him, and what he told his disciples. And let me give you a scripture here in 1 Corinthians 5. Let's back up to the 5th chapter right quick. And we're going to have to quit because it's time's up. But I've got a lot more scriptures to go over, but we just can't cover them all in this short period of time. 1 Corinthians 5 and 7. Now here Paul's dealing with this man that's committing fornication, that they put out of the church because he's took his father's wife. And here's what he says. Verse 7 says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you be not, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." Now see, that was the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He's trying to tell them that leaven is sin. Leaven is falsehood. It's ideology of man, but unleavened. You're to be unleavened. You're to get the leaven is air. It puffs up bread when bread's leavened. You're to get the air out of you. The hot air. Anyway, he said, "Christ our Passover is sacrificed. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." See, there's nothing there to eat. There's nothing there to eat or drink. He's He's showing the true meaning of unleavened bread that we're in, and the Passover feast. Let me just say this to you. There's not anything literal that is going to help you change. A literal little, we could eat some, bread. I could give you a practical lesson of just taking some bread and teaching you this is what this means. Eat it. Now, eating it won't help you. But if you get it in your life, I said a minute ago, your mind. If you can get your mind, the Word of God can transform. You're to be transformed by the renewing of your mind by the Word of God. When your mind lines up with this Holy Ghost nature you're born of, you'll get sin out of your life. You'll quit sinning. You can't sin in the Holy Ghost, but it's your mind is where the problem is. The way you think carnally, the way we all are brought up in an environment of sin and a nature of sin. So eating something, even going through a practical lesson, it might help you to get your mind on the right thing, but to eat of the truth of the Word of God and drink of the Spirit of the Word of God is what's going to change you. It's going to change your mind, your spirit. Your spirit is, when you act on your thoughts, creates a spirit. That's you. That's who you are. As a man thinketh, so is he. That's when you get your mind, when God gets your mind girded up with the truth of the Word of God and righteousness, and the Spirit of God is you're led by the Spirit, and every time we come together and have church and the Spirit of God moves and the anointed Word of God goes forth, you're eating His bread and drinking His blood. You're, as oft as you do it, remember His death till He comes, till He came on the day of Pentecost. They weren't going to eat it again. There wasn't going to be another one. But He was just showing them. Now you got to remember, these are Jews. They were probably going to eat it more after that. Paul went and kept those feasts to try to help save the Jews. But he was telling them, as oft as you do this, you remember what it means. And when you come together, you're fulfilling the meaning of it. There wasn't no more feast days or holy days. And I could go into those scriptures and show you that Paul taught against keeping holy days and feast days. And, different washings and eatings of different meats and refraining from certain meats, he taught against that. He showed it was all fulfilled in Christ. So, if I go to a church and they take it, I'll drink their juice and eat their little cracker or piece of bread. It won't hurt you a bit. But it ain't going to change your soul. But the Word of God and the Spirit of God is what's going to change your soul. So, anyway, there's more to be said on it. There's a lot more scriptures to deal with about it. But I just thought, since it's going, that's something being heard right now in the body, I just thought we ought to maybe talk about it a little bit. All right, I'll see you upstairs.